Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey everyone, Chuck Arfine here. Welcome to the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. For more information, go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/sox. Okay, this is a special edition of the podcast on this monumental day in the life of Jim Thome. The former White Sox slugger was named to the Baseball Hall of Fame today on the first ballot. A Hall of Fame player, a Hall of Fame person, Thome will be inducted in Cooperstown on July the 30th. And soon after receiving the call from the Hall of Fame, he invited me into his home in suburban Chicago to talk about his Hall of Fame phone call and his Hall of Fame career. So here's my conversation with the one and only Jim Thome. All right, Jim, let's begin with the phone call. I think you got the phone call around here. Was it at this table?
It was in the dining room.
In the dining room.
Yeah.
Describe getting that phone call.
Chuck, it was just a day you can't ever imagine. It so special. I woke up this morning and had this knot in my stomach, like, okay, now it's real. You know, you think about it, you retire, you go through this long phase, and then all of a sudden the day happens. And then when I looked down at my phone and New York was calling, it was something that you cannot ever explain. It's so special. There was so much like nervous excitement to have Andrea and the kids there to share this moment, to be able to reflect back on having dad, like growing up in Peoria, my brothers and sisters, like what it means more than just the player getting the call, to all those kids around Burr Ridge that you coach and you're able to be around. Like, it's just an incredible feeling of joy, excitement, and I guess the party begins. You know, I mean, you know, as a player, you always think, okay, I'd like to play in the big leagues, and then you get a chance to play in the big leagues. But then to have this honor as a first ballot Hall of Famer is just really hard. It hasn't sunk in. It's so special.
You got emotional. Did you have any idea how you would react if the phone call came?
I didn't. I just and thank God for my wife, because I mean, she's great at it. She just says, let all the emotions happen the way they're gonna happen. You know, you look back at this long career, there's been many ups and downs of emotions, and this should be an emotion of just love and excitement and joy, and just and reflecting, for me personally, reflecting on all those people that helped you along the way.
You believe in baseball gods?
More than you know.
Yes. And I know you
more
believe.
More than you know. You've
well,
had, you and I
know
had
a little
that
bit
talk.
Of that. I know a little bit. Maybe I don't know the full extent of it, but I know you believe in it.
Yeah.
To the extent of you did not want to talk about this. You felt if you verbalized certain things, the gods might not like this.
Well, it's interesting because you talk about it, it's. I always admired Burley when he was going through his no hitters.
The opposite.
And he was the opposite. I think the process, and you respect the game, you want to respect. Look, at the end of the day, I believed at the end of the day I had a tremendous career, and I'm very proud of that. I look in the mirror and there's a big part, you go, wow, you know, this might happen. But I think as we all are in baseball, because we understand the highs and lows, we try not to get ahead of ourselves. But now I no longer have to say if blessed or if fortunate or the potential of, now we can enjoy it and just let it, you know, just let it be, you know, like I talked to Mr. Reinsdorf and it's like, let's just enjoy all of this and truly embrace it and enjoy the process.
And the present day, you can now say, you don't have to look forward and say, if this happens, it happened for you.
It did. And I've got to tell you, I just still can't believe it. I mean, here, to all those Midwestern kids that believe they have a chance to make it to the major leagues, and then all of those kids in this area through this time of year when it's snowing and it's, you got to get indoors. You know what? There are Hall of Famers out there. There really are. And I think that's, for me, the biggest message maybe with all of this is to have our youth believe that this can happen. And I feel very strongly about that.
We went to Cooperstown with your dad after you hit the 500th home run ball. You felt the ball was bigger than you. It was a ball that didn't really belong to you. It belonged in the Hall of Fame.
It does. And for many reasons, you can put it in a trophy case. You can have it in your house. You could put it wherever you want. But all those people that come through Cooperstown, they should see it. They should be the one to look back. It's obviously where it needs to be. There was no head. The special part for me was the process. Mm-hmm. And you were there. We went through it with Dad, sitting out on the deck, having lunch. And then to have Landon and my family, Lila and Andrea, come during the old timers game, they call it, as you retire, just to go through that was, they deserve it. The ball should be theirs.
Okay, so when we were there, your dad went through, I don't know if you remember this, your dad went through and saw all the plaques, and he picked out a spot that he wanted your plaque to go. Do you remember this?
I think so.
He saw Gwynn and Ripken. He goes, I want Jim to be right there next to those two guys. I'm not sure if that can happen.
You know what? I know this. I truly believe, Chuck, that my dad, when Mom passed, I believe that my dad is living for this day. I truly believe that. I think as a father, it's one of the biggest moments any of your kids could have. And to share this with him, and he's been there through my first game. He's been there through many, many of them. And to be around today and share this moment is just so great.
You called him. Was that the first, or it had to be one of the first phone calls you made?
Oh, yeah. My dad was the first, yes. Yes.
Describe that conversation.
A little bit of tears, as you can see, as you can
imagine.
Yeah. And then just joy. I think you felt me. I felt his love, and I think vice versa. That's what's so cool and special.
What would 10-year-old Jim Thome think about you getting in the Hall of Fame? When you were 10 years old, you were hitting baseballs. No, you weren't hitting baseballs. You were hitting rocks in your driveway, breaking windows across the street.
Yes, and dogs chasing after us. You've seen one of them.
Yes. What would that 10-year-old Jim Thome think about today that you got into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, man, I think that 10-year-old would smile. I think that 10-year-old would pass the torch again, as I said, to all those kids around the Midwest and in general everywhere to believe that things can happen. It doesn't matter what college you go to. It doesn't matter the program you're in. At the end of the day, if you're a good player and you believe in yourself, sweat equity, all the things that we talk about as players, and the time you put in and trusting the system and the coaches that are teaching you, dreams can come true. And I'm living it. I'm here with you. And I mean, to look back, we've had a lot of fun together, and this is a special day for me.
Special for me.
Yeah.
This is a serious question I want to ask you. This is actually serious. How much did Roy Hobbs have to do with your success from The Natural?
You know, that
you know where I'm
I would
going
say
with that.
Charlie would be the one to answer that, but yes, because when you think about it, I remember the day he called me in. Yeah. And when we talked about the move we were going to make And the movie, I think, sparked him to call me in. And then to go out and to practice it and see success in batting practice, and then to have it translate into the game, you don't get better. You don't get better. And that's what I always say to people. A little bit in baseball means a lot of tweaks for the good and the bad. They can be good for you. They can be bad for you. As the player, you have to know when to adjust and know what makes it work for you.
Yeah, because Charlie wanted to make a tweak with your swing, and he showed you Roy Hobbs in the natural, and this something clicked with you.
It did. It did. It relaxed me. It put me in a position. It put me in a position, ultimately, to, I think, more than anything, relax, because how he had me hold the bat.
There's a great quote here from Glenn Perkins, your former teammate with the Twins, who said,
I love Perk.
Talking about you, he said, he's my favorite teammate, but he's everybody's favorite teammate. A lot of people say that. Why were you such a great teammate, and why was it so important for you to be that way in the clubhouse?
I just think you have to be yourself, you know. I first of all, I think, like, when you're growing up and you come up through the system, there's guys you want to look after and say, okay, I'd like to be like him, or I'd like to follow him, and then, or instructors or coaches that are teaching you all these things, and you go, you know what, I kind of like his work ethic as a coach or a manager or an instructor. And then what it does, it just flows, you know. And look, we're all in this circle of the chain of baseball. And I don't want to sit here and say I was the only good guy, because there are a bunch of good people that I think what happens is you surround yourself around them. It's easy to be perceived as a good guy. I cannot leave your parents out. You know, your parents teach you right and wrong and how to act. But at the end of the day, I just think treating people the way you want to be treated is number one. And I think my parents had a big, big influence.
You had 13 career walk-off home runs. All right, what's the secret? how do you do it?
Get a good pitch.
Get a good pitch.
Get a good pitch and want to be in that situation. When the game's on the line, when you're on deck, to visualize things that are going to happen. And I always tried to do that. I always may not have always produced like that, but I always felt like it was my area. I was controlling everything. Even though the pitcher could throw a split, he could throw a slider, a fastball, and the pitcher dictates where the ball goes, I tried to eliminate the pitcher and compete against the baseball and eliminate who was on the mound and try to really focus and say, all right, I'm going to keep this simple and compete against that round ball.
Can you name a highlight, number one highlight, favorite moment with the White Sox?
Blackout game, hands down, got us in the playoffs. I mean, the electricity, the vibe, and now working for them. You know, I think the goal is to get back to that point and get the excitement on the south side to where we can have all these young players come up and be put in a situation like that. And feel, I, to this day, I'll go get coffee and I'll have people say to me, oh, I love the blackout game. Like, you, as a player, you don't really know the impact it has on people, and it does. And it's a moment, but those are moments that nobody can take away from you. Like today, they can't take away that phone call when New York popped up. They will never replace that area code. I may frame that at the end of the day. That's what it's all about.
Did it say Cooperstown, New York?
It said New York, New York. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's good enough for me.
That's
New
good
York.
Enough.
You needed a phone call
somewhere
from New York
in
today.
New York, yeah.
Anywhere. You had another quote I want to have here, actually share with you. This is from you. The strongest thing I put in my body is steak and eggs. I just eat. Steroids are not even a thought. Why was it not a thought for you when, for so many others, they went ahead and did it?
It was never a thought because, first of all, it was never presented to me. I never seen it. Only knew really one way, and that was all of these great managers, instructors that help guide you. It was never thought about. It was never around. I didn't look at playing baseball as, oh, I need to do this to be better. I thought baseball was, okay, you work hard, getting back to sweat equity, and put your time in, and if you improve, you can improve the next year. And it just never, Chuck, it really never crossed my mind ever to do anything illegal. I was brought up that you don't do things illegally. So it just never crossed my mind ever to do it.
Okay, one last question, and this was a dream of yours. Does it still feel like a dream, or is this now reality in your mind?
It's still a dream.
Still a dream.
I don't think the dream ever stops. I don't. I think when you're evolved around baseball, I think the dream flows. It doesn't ever quit. And as a kid, as a 47-year-old, you should never stop dreaming. I'm living that today as a Hall of Famer.
How does that sound? You just
said it's incredible. It'll be so cool to sign a baseball HOF. Really cool.
So there's my conversation with Jim Thome. But we've got more. Because in 2007, after Jim hit his 500th career home run and that amazing walk-off in the bottom of the ninth inning for the White Sox, a fan gave Thome the home run ball. But Jim decided the ball did not belong to him. He believed, this is why Jim is so special, he believed the ball belonged to baseball, specifically the Hall of Fame. So the following September, or maybe it was August or September in 2008, Jim and his dad went to Cooperstown to deliver his 500th home run ball. And I was honored to be able to tag along with them. So we'll play that story for you next on the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust. Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Sox, members FDIC.
Hi, guys. I'm Tara Lipinski.
And I'm Johnny Weir.
Guess what, Johnny?
What?
The Winter Olympics are right around the corner. And what does that mean?
Yay. That means we get to see Shaun White, Michaela Schifrin, and other top Team USA athletes conquer fresh snow and ice this February on NBC.
So make sure you're ready. Sign up for NBC Sports and Olympics emails by texting POD to 66866. Or you can visit NBCOlympics.com/newsletters to receive the latest athlete updates, giveaways, and more.
Message and data rates may apply. Winter is here.
Ball hit deep. Way back. He looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Number 500 for Jim Thome. A game winner here in the bottom of the ninth inning. The Sox win it 9-7. You're awesome, big man.
Jim and his father, Chuck, flew to the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, to personally hand-deliver that majestic home run ball. And we tagged along.
The baseball fans, you know, of America get to come here and experience all the great memorabilia and all the things that have happened during baseball, the pastime. And that's why I think it was important to bring it here, with him especially, with Dad.
Jim had been to Cooperstown twice before, but only for exhibition games. So this was actually the first time he ever stepped foot inside the Hall of Fame. And he could think of no one better to experience it with than his dad. And at times, it got emotional.
I haven't slept for 2 days. This is, using the word surreal, it's absolutely awesome. I can't even say I had this dream, you know. I mean, it's he's a pretty slick company.
Yeah. Having your
and I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. As a kid, you know, you come home and you ask Dad, hey, will you throw me BP, you know, or let's play catch. And he was always the guy that did that, you know. He was always the guy that told me the things I did wrong, you know, while I was playing. You know, taught me how to play the game the right way. They always say your dad does. He did that.
Not only was there the link between father and son, but there was the link to the past, a guided tour through the hall, which was an eye-opener, to say the least.
This is a ball from a game played in 1858.
Oh, my goodness.
How do they find this stuff?
I have no clue. It's amazing.
And there's something about seeing a slugger from today walking into the exhibit dedicated to the ultimate slugger, Babe Ruth.
What he's done for the game has been great, you know, and his name, people today still talk about him, so.
And there is his locker.
And there's his locker.
Walking through the hall was like walking through a time machine, going from era to era. We even found a display from the 2005 World Series Championship.
Burles, Freddie's hat.
Freddie's hat is very dirty.
Freddie's hat is dirty. Paulie.
Jeff Blum's bat from the World Series.
That was the homer?
Yep.
Was that the homer? Wow.
And right next to it, Jim happened upon the lineup cards from a unique doubleheader he played in while with the Indians in 2000.
Oh, that was the doubleheader. We played two different teams. We played Minnesota and then the White Sox.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Good lineup. Lofton, Vizquel, Robbie, Manny, Creedy. There's Creedy. No, Ordonez, and then Creedy came in. Paulie hit sixth.
John Garland was the starter.
Gar, yeah.
Is this more than what you expected?
It is. It is. It's magical. I mean, it really is. It's a place I told my dad, you know, pulling up today, it was like surreal. You know, it's like a storybook coming in here. It truly is a magical place. And I think every player, every baseball fan should come and experience this. It's wonderful.
With over 500 home runs, Jim will definitely be a candidate to make the Hall of Fame when he retires. And if he does, his dad last year came through here and was looking at the plaques and was trying to find the place for where his son's plaque should go. He saw Gwynn and Ripken, and he says, I want it right there.
So I figured, well, there'll be a couple more between now and then, so I went to the two extra, the empty ones, got a picture of that at home, so hopefully he's one of them.
I do dream about it, you know, but I guess all that will be answered later on. You know, all that will be answered later on, and I try not to get ahead of myself with that, you know, to be respectful to the game.
And one day, Jim plans on returning to the hall with his son, who was born over the winter.
It'll be very, very neat to bring him here and, you know, walk him through, you know, this great building and let him experience it as well. It'll be probably the same feeling he's feeling right now, you know, and then I'll know what that feeling is like.
And sure enough, Jim felt that today. The experience knowing he's headed to the Hall of Fame. And come July, we'll be there along with him to cover it all for you. Thanks for listening to this special edition of the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. For more information, go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/socks, and we'll see you next time.